This meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, folks. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to call number 11 for the CCTRT. Is there anyone who's on the phone but not on Adobe Connect so we can make sure you're part of the roll call?
Jamie Hedlund. Sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. David here. I'm on Adobe, but I'm not listed yet, but I'm here. Hi, everyone.
And this is Jamie Hedlund. I am on mobile now, but we'll switch to Adobe shortly.
All right, sounds good. Does anybody have any updates to their statements of interest?
Yes. You'd
be suddenly... All right, go ahead.
I have won less directorship than when we started out, so that's been reflected in the deeper stuff. We're going to upload that in due course.
Okay, great. We'll look forward to seeing that, and congratulations. First on our agenda is... some follow-up comments on outreach to underserved markets that Carlton has agreed to share. From the presentation we had on the last call about ICANN's outreach efforts. Carlton, are you ready to rock and roll? You might be muted. We don't hear you. He's typing.
Are you hearing me now?
Yes, yes, but it's very dim. It's very dim.
Oh, dear. I don't know what's happening here. Speaking as loud as I can.
Okay.
You cannot hear me. You hear me?
Yes, it's just faint.
Okay. I am speaking as loud as I can into a microphone.
Okay.
A few comments about the outreach effort. As part of as part of the applicant support program, we had recommended an outreach as part of the form applicants on the curve, developing and the initiative was launched of presentations, appearance by ICANN in
Hey, Carlton, your voice is very dim. Are you on via microphone, right? Not phone?
Yes, I'm the microphone.
Is it worth us trying to call out to you to get you on the phone?
Yes, maybe it's because I don't know what's wrong with
you. It could be that the record level of your microphone is down too low.
I have turned it all the way up as far as I can. So I'm not sure what else.
You sound better now already. Pam, can we try to call out to Carlton?
Can you hear me better? I can hear everybody in the back. I can even hear background stuff. I don't know what's happening.
We can hear you better now, Carlton. Whatever you're doing different, it's a little bit better.
Okay. Correct. Are you hearing me now?
Yes.
Okay. I was saying that as part of the applicant support initiative, we had an outreach program that was supposed to provide information to underserved regions and to the developing economies would be participants. And they had a program which included advertisements in newspapers, appearances by ICANN officials in certain areas of the world, or incident with other appearances, and several different streams to it. What I do know is that based on they went into The Economist, I think, and a couple of other classic magazines, and they went to a couple meetings, internet-related meetings, and they made a push. My own view was that it was not just too little, too late, but the channels that they use would not have resulted in the kind of exposure we were expecting. For one, we tried to tell them that if we're going to do that, we have to begin to send people to the Chamber of Commerce meetings in countries. We have to begin to use radio. I have always maintained that you can't do internet in developing economies without radio, funny enough, because most of the people who would be at a point of interest, they do drive time radio. You can't do just online, purely online kind of things. You have to use radio and the other older communication channels. They didn't take advertisements in local newspapers, at least as far as I know, there were very few of those. And we criticized that. In the ALAC, for example, we had people who were looking for the communications in the various organs that they use. We compile a list of possible channels in some countries, and they were not used. So the bottom line was that although the outreach and advertisement was actually a plan in place, the execution of the plan did not result in the expected outcomes because we didn't choose the right channels. We started too late. We did not take advice of other people in place to help us with devising the communication plan. And to us, at least to the at large, the major areas of weakness was with the channels that was chosen for the communication and the lack of local participation in those communication attempts. So, for example, they would go to a meeting in some place in the country, and we offered to have at-large people assist them in the channeling and in the communications content, but that was not accepted. And that is where we left it. Just a little feedback.
Okay, Carlton, thank you for that. Are there folks that have questions? I have some, but I don't need to go first. I'll go ahead and start then, Carlton. Do you have an example of an outreach program done by some other organization that was trying to reach the same kind of audience that was successful? I want to get beyond the theoretical on this and figure out how to put some meat on the bones of your recommendations. Go ahead.
I don't have one at the moment. I think we got some. I'll have to check with Tijani Benjamin, because he had made some very specific suggestions added to, as I recall. But we were advised by the people in the regions in at large of how do you meet the people who would be interested in having a new GTLD. And we were targeting very specific people. We're targeting business people that we knew who had local brands who might be interested in having a GTLD. We were looking at community people who we thought might be appropriate for this. Let me give you one example that I can tell you straight. The CARICOM, which is the regional political community of English speaking, of Caribbean countries. There's a political community called CARICOM, Caribbean Community. They are based in Georgetown, Guyana, and they have 15 members, including Jamaica, Haiti as a member, Suriname is a member, and the rest are English-speaking Caribbean countries. The Directorate for Information approached me and asked whether or not if they could see to getting that CARICOM as a community that organized. And I said, well, that's a good idea. They were looking at that Caribbean or CARICOM, or CARICOM itself. And one of the things I told them, well, I gave them some information. We gave them information, send them online, all of that. There are meetings of the political directorate that they had at the time. One of the things we suggested was that somebody could go to one of those. I can go to one of those. We could get them on the agenda, and they could make a pitch. It never went forward because they could not be convinced that the way ICANN thought of community was the way they wanted to think of community. And so there was the enthusiasm for that CARICOM waned because of the uncertainty in the classification of the GTLD. Probably GTLD. That's one I know of.
So
the second one, I can tell you a second one. We thought we could look at regional meetings of the Confederation of Industries. We have a Caribbean Confederation of Chamber of Commerce. And we wanted to position those people to give them the information. So we had sent information about where they were meeting and so on. That didn't get any. As far as I know, we never appeared on the radio anywhere. And especially for Africa and the Caribbean, we have always insisted that if you have any kind of communication plan that did not include radio, it is more than likely you would not be as successful as reaching the audience that you intend to reach as possible. So those three things I can tell you specifically. I will have to check with Johnny to see what else was provided. I don't have all the data.
Okay. Thanks, Carlton. I feel like this might end up being a little bit of a research project, because the example you gave with respect to the community doesn't really have to do with outreach. That feels like it's almost a separate problem where they were perfectly aware that the program existed, but something broke down in the communication after the fact, so that problem wouldn't have been solved by communicating earlier or by using radio. Those were people that were actively engaged, but then their interest waned as they got into the process, which I think is equally important, but it's not the same thing as outreach. And then go ahead.
Can I say this?
Of course.
Yes and no. Let me tell you why. The people who were trying to follow the process were the secretariat people. They would still have to convince the politicians and the technocrats from each country that this was useful. And that is why we wanted the engagement and the communication from outside. Because they were still struggling to get everybody on board. They're not decision makers. They are simply the people in the secretariat who came to me and asked or information which we provided, and so on. But they still had another task. They had to sell that now to the political directorate in the 15-member community. So it required some more.
I mean, I guess what that calls into question, Carlton, is what the purpose of the outreach is. Is it to convince people that it's a good idea to do a new GTLD, or simply to alert people that it's possible? That's an interesting dilemma, and one that we should try to record and consider, because I think really understanding what the purpose of the outreach is just as critical. And do you feel like this was a candidate for applicant support, or just a general sort of candidate in the developing world that had they managed to convince the political leaders and the technocrats that it was a good idea, that it wouldn't have been a big financial issue?
I think a little bit of both. There was always the issue of support for that kind of money. $183,000 is not a small change for the but also we needed a general more understanding in the community, because it's politicians. People in the community, it's a good thing, then they would pressure the politicians, and the politicians might be willing to sign off. And even if we didn't, they weren't going to get applicant support, then they would see that something worked out of it. So that's the whole idea there. We wanted more people in the communities, in the region, and on the surf community, to know about the program. But we also wanted them to know what possibilities existed for them to be included in the program. So I think it's a bit of a problem.
I see. I mean, and then this issue you mentioned of radio, I'm wondering if it's possible to do a brain dump of some of what you're describing into a document about the avenues for communication. We're getting some kind of feedback from somebody's line, I think, about the avenues for communication and why you think some are more effective than others. Is there anything, any kind of a reference for the issue of radio being a more effective means of communication in Africa and the Caribbean? Is that anything we can document somehow?
I'm sure there is. I will just have to go and look back for it. But this is not what we know. Even the elites in developing economies listen to radio, and this is the best place for you to get them. All the time. The radio listenership is very high, and when you want to get information to people, to audiences generally or specifically, radio still remains a very important.
Okay. So I think that's a powerful hypothesis. What I'd love to do with all the questions that we're trying to answer in this review is sort of frame these things as hypotheses and then figure out how to go about documenting or conducting research or whatever the best option is to try and support that hypothesis. I'm on this team, we've all sort of agreed to try and do less asserting and more documenting if we can. So I'm wondering if this is something that is of sufficient interest and expertise that you'd be willing to own this question. And talk to a couple of other people to try and determine what the best recommendations are to make for outreach in the future, and somehow document those recommendations. Does that make sense?
What I can do for you is to find some of the research about radio in
okay.
these regions, and I can provide that. That's what I'm prepared to do.
Okay.
And that's fairly easy. One of the good things about it is that you still have broadcasting authorities in just about every country. This region, I can speak for this region. And they do keep stats on radio listening, on what that is. So I have access to that through the university. So I can do that.
Okay. We just need to get to a point where we're making some findings about the issues associated with outreach and then making some recommendations. And so one of those is radio. I guess one of them you identified was making use of chambers of commerce. And then the third was somehow leveraging the locals in the outreach. And so I'm interested in understanding that better. Is it something where we could have used locals to get the right people to the meeting, or how might we better have used local contacts to expand the effectiveness of the outreach?
Are you asking me, Jonathan?
I am. Yeah, that's one of the things you mentioned. Sorry. Yeah.
I can tell you for the applause, one of the things that at all is having outreach in the region, or the applause is in the Japan region. The people who live in the region are the ones who always, you can assist telling us what works in this region.
Your voice has gotten very dim again.
I don't know what's happening now.
That's better.
I haven't changed anything.
That's better.
The people in the regions have always offered to help with providing on-the-ground knowledge of how communities work. There are cultural differences, and there are all kinds of things. One of the things that we have always offered is that when an event is taking place, if you try as best as you can to incorporate some of the local people, they can assist. We've never been, it's not been consistent. It's a lot better now, I can tell you that. I hear from at large people that they know when an ICANN event is taking place and what they can assist. So, back in the day, the Black Slate that we were talking about, time of the African Panther. I still think there is a value to dealing with local people because they're right there, they know the people. We did a big document, and I'll have to go back to John Benjamin, who is the person to extract as much of that We have some stuff we can.
Okay, so that's a document we don't yet have, or we do, and I just haven't seen it yet.
I don't think you have that. I mean,
okay.
I don't know.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot, Carlton. I think as a review team, we can't go out and say we think this would be a good idea because it was offered and it wasn't taken advantage of by the outreach team.
I wouldn't give a stat there. The outreach that was done for African support is a matter of record. So you know what was done. You can start with what was done. And we know that. That is a part of the record, and we can extract
yes.
those records. So that is not speculation.
Agreed.
And the result of that we know. So that is not speculation either. So what we can tell you that is that there are other channels that could have been used if they wanted to reach people. And to our knowledge, those were not embraced. That is an assertion of fact. So we can show you that.
At this point, we don't know that it was... I mean, that the problem was that people didn't hear about the program, right? I mean, that's one of the things that we're going to try to test for, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And so we don't know if it was the lack of communications channels or if it was too much money or it was not interesting, as came up on the last call, that people were afraid there wasn't a large enough market for them. Or I mean, there's a number of reasons that potential applicants may not have applied, one of which may be that they just hadn't heard about the program or hadn't heard about the applicant support program. If we reach the conclusion, and the surveys will help us hopefully to reach this conclusion, if it's true, is that there's simply insufficient awareness of the program, both the program generally, the new GTLD program, and the applicant support program, then we should look at why. And then if we pose the hypothesis that the wrong channels of communication were used, I'd love to just try to find examples of where those channels were used successfully or somehow document that some channels are better than others, et cetera, and get beyond assertions about the efficacy of things. That's all. That's all I'm getting to, is that it's not a question of me not believing you. I just want the nature of the report to be documented in a way that is as evidence-based as possible. That's all.
We'll provide as much as we can. I will go direct through the at-large
Okay, so maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more in the face-to-face, but I'd love to identify a small set, a team of people that are focused on the applicant support area generally and working on the outreach issue. So if you're able to be a part of that discussion, then let me know, and let's make sure that we're on top of it and try to design some findings and recommendations that we're able to document. So Wada's been, I guess you are able to hear now, Wada, but not speak. Or would you like to go ahead and say some of the things that you're writing?
Hello, you can hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Hello?
We can hear you.
Okay. First, I apologize. I've been on and off, so I was not really following much what Carlton was saying. I had a little bit at the beginning about the applicant support program and the associated outreach program that went with it. So my first comment was that outreach support program which was connected with the ASP is okay, but we also needed to have a wider outreach program that is outside the ASP, wider support program, I think it should also have targeted the decision makers to some extent. And then with regard to the issue that you're saying about the channels, there are some channels, like you mentioned, radio and TV. I think those are important for having general awareness of the program. And I think I'll just give you a small story. When I was coming for the ICANN meeting in Toronto, at the airport in Toronto, at the immigration, the immigration office asked me, what are you coming to do in Canada? And I told him that I'm coming for an ICANN meeting. And his remark was, oh, that's the organization that has come up with the new, he didn't really say PLDs, but new names for the internet. So I was impressed because someone who's just a worker at the airport seems to have some idea about these GPLDs. That one impressed me. And that kind of awareness can come about by using mass media like radio, TV, and so on, that they keep seeing these things on the TV. Maybe someone is being interviewed, someone from ICANN or someone from another organization is being interviewed and is talking about this new phenomena. So I think that one was missing in the developing countries or in the developing world. The general awareness, which is important for building up the demand for the domains that are the new GTLDs. The decision makers are going to make decision to apply if they have a feeling that there's going to be demand. And then I think there should have been another kind of outreach now, which is to decision makers, particularly for business decision makers, which I don't know, maybe we'll have to discuss what suggestions we can have for the future. But to me, I'm thinking more of like small groups or one-on-one meetings with these decision makers to explain to them what the GTLD program is all about and what the benefits are, so that they can take decisions. And from Africa, I can already think of big organizations that will be interested in having their own GTLDs. There are already some who had applied from South Africa, if you recall, and some of them were delegated. So I think the market is there for them. And some of those big organizations, their interest is not so much the applicant support program. Although the applicant support program is important, we should not downplay its importance, but there are some organizations to whom that should not be the primary focus, the applicant support program. More the just going out to give them information and the benefits of the new GTLDs. Thank you. Hello?
Thanks, Water.
Okay.
So who just said hello? Was that you, Water? Sorry.
No, someone else.
Okay, So I think that these are all interesting observations. I want to figure out how best to document them for review. In other words, we can't leave the conversation here. We have to identify some folks that are willing to own this question of outreach and turn it into more of a research project, which includes looking at the summaries that came from the staff and the Joint Applicant Support Working Group, and then go back and, as I said, kind of phrase these assertions as hypotheses that we then try to go about documenting. So in other words, we will be doing it, and again, we're talking about this a little bit later in the meeting, but we're going to be talking about some surveys of people that might have applied, but we need to also, if we're talking about communication channels, Wado, you're talking about the distinction between the general public and decision makers, how we reach both of those and what's realistic, right, as far as mass media, which is the most expensive type of outreach, obviously. I mean, trying to reach the general public is the hardest thing to do. I mean, your example with the Border Patrol agent is an interesting one. It's also probably possible that 50 other people were arriving at the same meeting, and over time he gained an understanding of what ICANN was by asking people why they were coming to Toronto. But still, it's an interesting anecdote. So, Wado, you said mass media is cheap, and interview on CNN. That's right. If it's not advertising, earned media can be cheaper, certainly, but even getting earned media can be expensive. Let's try to form some kind of a sub-team on this issue of outreach and focus our efforts on coming up with some hypotheses and then trying to document our findings and make informed recommendations. Because right now they're just people's assertions, and we need to get past that if we can. Stan, you have your hand up.
Yes, Aliza has pointed me to Chapter 6 of the Program Implementation Review, which actually just has gone over exactly the same ground that we've done here. It talks about adapting procedures and additional studies. So this is not a topic that hasn't been addressed before. I agree with Jonathan. We have to identify projects that will move the ball forward.
That's right, Stan. And I think the decision we made in LA was to try and organize based on the applicant, program implementation review. And I think we're trying to reorganize around the questions that we're asking. And one of the inputs to that will in fact be that report. But we need to identify folks that, are willing to own this part of the review so that the report becomes one of the inputs and that we identify as soon as possible other research projects that need to be done in order to document the findings to support the hypotheses that we are currently putting out there. Watto and Carlton, are you willing to be on a sub-team around outreach?
This is Carlton. I am. Yes, I'm going to do it. But as I tell you, this so many things that bandwidth is also very important. But this specific too is very important to us, and so I'm going to be very much involved in this.
Okay. We're going to talk about this a little bit more, but I think we want to try very hard to organize around a system of rapporteurs or champions for particular questions so that someone is sort of driving the process of some findings and recommendations around that question. So I'll say this more generally, and we can put it out on the list as well. We want people to be part of a team around outreach, and then we want to have somebody identified as the kind of champion for that question around outreach so that we don't lose momentum on that question. So ICANN has to make to big news. Okay. So I'm interested to have you involved in that, and I'm happy to be involved in it as well, and let's try to find out who else is interested. Please contact staff if you're able and interested to be a part of this. I think we're going to ultimately organize a kind of a Google Doc with all the questions that we're trying to ask and get people to sign up to be champions for those questions. So that's how the process is evolving. I hope that we'll come out of the face-to-face with identified champions around each of the questions that we're trying to ask as a part of this review. Does anybody else have any comments or questions on Carlton or Watto's observations? Okay, great. Next is preparing for the DC meeting, reviewing the agenda, confer reading lists, and homework. What's the best way to proceed with that? Is that something, Alice, that you were on, want to go over with people?
Hi, Jonathan. Yes, sure. I'm happy to walk through this.
So as you will see
on the screen, you've got the agenda that was circulated last night to the team. So basically, in track changes, you will notice that we've sort of reorganized some of the breakout session agendas to match with where the two sub-teams are now. And then we've also incorporated a reading list for each item, so you have all the documents, references in preparation for the meeting. So what we'll do moving forward, if the agenda is acceptable to everyone, is firm this version and then send you a clean one, and then we'll send a separate reading list as well, so you have everything ready before you hop on your flight to DC. So I'm not sure if there's any questions here at this stage.
So are we trying to, we're going to get to this, I guess, a little bit later in the call, but we're trying to divide up some of the reading materials for individual presentations. So that's part of what we were talking about for the reading list for the plane.
Right. And so
just kind of alerting people. Go ahead.
I was going to say the safeguards and trust, they've received some instructions from Loreen on reading list assignments for their group as well. So, but I think we'll touch on that for the next agenda item. But yes, we will compile a list of reading list for you as you prepare for the meeting.
Okay. And then I guess the other thing that Loreen asked me to mention on this call is that we are going to be having a discussion with Larry Strickling and Fiona Alexander from NTIA, who were involved in the drafting of the affirmation of commitments and therefore the designation of this review. And so they're going to come and kind of discuss with us what the genesis was for this review and why they thought it was important and what they hope to see out of the review. They're interested in questions that we might have in that context. Part of what we want to do is ask each of you if you have questions about for Larry and Fiona that we can get to them in advance that are on that question about sort of what they believe they had in mind about this review and what they hope to get out of it, etc. So we're going to ask those general questions, but if you have more specific questions that they could spend time thinking about before they got there, then please let us know. Speak up now or send an email to staff, and we'll put them in Larry and Fiona's hands. Do you have any questions about that discussion? That's happening on Monday. Isn't that right?
Yes, Monday morning. That's correct.
Yeah, on Monday morning. Yeah, there it is. 10 a.m. Any questions about that discussion that you think of now? Waldo says, how much data were they expecting would be available at this time? One of the things that's interesting, Waldo, is that the idea of data actually came from Bruce Tonkin, maybe after me being a pain in the butt about it for so many years. So I don't know that the issue of data even came up in the context of the original AOC document, but came up later as part of a board resolution that Bruce Tonkin had proposed. But we can certainly ask them about that question, but I don't think that was part of wasn't necessarily part of their thinking. I think that's just part of our internal reform of ICANN reviews to make them a little bit more data-driven. So the AOC, as you know, is worded in a fairly vague way, which is, did the program enhance competition, choice, and trust, right? That's the sort of the way things were worded in the AOC. Yes, Waddo, I think we're in the same place that we expect to review based on data. That's just never been expected of anybody in the past. And old habits die hard. Any other thoughts on the discussion with Larry and Fiona before we move on? Megan, is that what you're writing about? Megan, that's a good point. The AOC has now been, well, at least the sort of substantive parts of the AOC have been incorporated into the bylaws, so this review is now a permanent review. And it's certainly that we're doing this review on behalf of the community. So it's not on behalf of NTIA by any means. It's more a question about understanding where they were coming from and potentially getting insights into what they were thinking of that we may not have thought of, I guess. Alice asked for a deadline for questions. Maybe the end of the day tomorrow so that we can get them to them Friday morning. Okay. Any other questions about that? And then I guess the other question I have is maybe not easily handled via call, on the call here. Maybe it's more of an email question, but I'm wondering when people are coming in and who would be interested in getting together for dinner on Sunday evening. Maybe it's possible to just use the voting function of Adobe Connect to get a sense if there's some interest in organizing something for the evening before. I'm the local, the most local, I guess. I live quite near the venue hotel. So just hit a green check if you think you would be, if you're going to be in D.C. early enough for dinner and you'd be interested in participating in a dinner beforehand on Sunday. Carlos, something beery, please. You would like it to involve beer? Is that what you mean by that? All right. I think beer can be part of it, although we don't want anybody hung over Monday morning for Larry and Fiona. Okay, so I will figure out where we have booked for dinner for Monday and Tuesday, and look for an interesting alternative. Presumably everybody would prefer that to be like walking distance from the hotel. So we'll look for some things in the area that everybody could walk to from the Omni for dinner on Sunday evening. All right. Perfect. All right, I think that's probably it for this agenda item, unless anybody has any additional questions. Yes, Carlton, Adams, Morgan's, and walking distance. That's where I live, so we can certainly cross the bridge. You can all come to my house and we can get Indian food delivered or something like that. So we have lots of options. Photos of my place, Megan, is that what you're talking about? All right, so next on the... Oh, the photo exhibition, right. Okay, so next on the agenda is some progress updates from the sub-teams. So this will be a little bit interesting in that both Jordan and Laureen couldn't make this call, so I will attempt to talk a little bit about Laureen's update and then maybe put Stan on the spot to talk a little bit about where we left off on competition and consumer choice. And then, but maybe to get us started, Aliza can talk to us about where we are with some of these studies and surveys.
Hey, Jonathan, this is Aliza. Sure, I'd be happy to do that. So on the, I'll start with the Nielsen survey because it's a bit more timely. I should be sending to you later this week the draft report with the findings from the consumer survey. So that will be in your inboxes before you leave for Washington, and hopefully you can all take a look at that and come prepared with any questions for David Dickinson of Nielsen, who will be joining us first thing on Monday morning. In terms of the registrant survey, we, with the sub-team members for that particular piece of work, we finalized the questionnaire for the registrant survey and included the sort of branch for those who don't qualify for the survey, those who haven't registered a domain name, to ask them questions about what other alternate online identities they use. So Nielsen is now doing the sort of programming, testing, translation that needs to take place before they can actually push it out to the field to respondents. This actually takes quite a bit of time. It takes several weeks for them to get through all the language translations and ensuring that they are accurate, and then programming their software and working with their cohorts in other countries, in all the many countries where we're administering the survey. So we anticipate that that will actually be fielded in July, which is actually a little bit early. We fielded the last survey in August of last year, so we're a little bit ahead of schedule, but we figured a couple of weeks won't make too much of a difference and still allow for you to see some change, if any, within a nearly one-year period between the two surveys. So those are the updates on Nielsen. As a sort of separate note, we had been talking within the application evaluation process of the review about doing some type of focus group or focused interviews with applicants who had withdrawn from the process, and those were obviously names that we know and that have been captured throughout the program. I'm going to be speaking with Nielsen later today about their capacity for doing some interviews like this, and I'll report back to the team on what I find out from them. This is something that they can do. They do focus groups and kind of more focused market research, I guess you could call it. So I may be coming back to you rather quickly with some with an update on that, and hopefully we can all come to an agreement on a set of questions that you'd be most interested in asking to that cohort. So that's an extra piece of work that we are hoping Nielsen will be able to take on. And then finally, I'll talk a little bit about analysis group. There isn't much new to report here. They have started to do some of the manual scraping of registrar websites for pricing data. They've also been in touch with the two websites that I think it was Jonathan recommended, namestat.org and dnprices, dnprice.bs. They've it sounds like they'll be getting some pretty good data from at least the dnprice website. I don't know that they've heard back from namestat.org yet. I think they may have had a preliminary conversation, but I also have a call with analysis group later today to see where they are with that. Sorry not to have a better update, but because of the holiday weekend, my usual calls with them got pushed back this week. I also wanted to add, at least with regard to DN prices, I think that some of the data set or the data set that they are offering, we can also make available to their review team, but I should know more about that later today, and I will update you on that when I find out more. And I think that's all. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Aliza. Any questions for Aliza about some of the studies and the status of them? Everything's basically proceeding at pace there. No questions? Okay. Stan, do you, I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but you feel like riffing a little bit about where things are, and maybe we can even put up the problems document that that Stan, you know, the questions document that Stan came up with, and kind of figure out where we are with the competition and choice discussion, and what kind of feedback, Stan, that you're hoping for from the review team, et cetera, so that we can, now that we have everybody convened. Hopefully I'm not putting you on the spot too much.
No, this will be very brief. A while back, I circulated a project list. They were simply my first cut at a set of projects that I thought would be useful to do for the competition and consumer choice portion of the project. And following up our chairman's guidance, these are all evidence-based. So they all attempt to define in a as precise a way as possible a set of empirical projects. I must say I'm somewhat disappointed. I've only gotten really one set of responses, only that in the last day or so. What I'm hoping that we will actually do between now and the meeting in Washington is that, sounds like a fire drill here, gentlemen. Jonathan Kang, I'm afraid I have to vacate the building. Jonathan, why don't you just complete this report? Hello?
Oh, that's a likely story. You probably have a button on your desk to make that sound.
Oh, hold it a second. Let me hear the message. Hold on. I think, no, people are leaving. Can you hear the fire?
I'll try
to be back in time to finish this, but I'm hoping people will respond to my set of projects with their own additions or refinements or suggestions for that. I'm hoping that we will end up in a room in Washington where we'll refine these, determine the data we need, and I propose that we not let people out of the room until we do so. Have fun, gentlemen. And ladies, I'll be back.
Okay. So, thanks, Stan. So, I don't know how much chance people have had to look at this document. I'm sure that Alice can once again put the link down here in chat. And so I implore everybody just sometime today even look at the questions that Stan has proposed and make some recommendations to this document if you have any. I mean, the idea that we're trying to advance here is that we have subteams, so one for a competition and choice and the other for safeguards that don't have all the members of the review team on them. And so these documents like this are an opportunity for folks to speak up earlier rather than later if they think that there's some aspect of the review that the subteam is not considering. So the point is speak now or forever hold your peace. Don't wait until draft findings come out of the subteam to suggest why didn't you ask such and such. These are the questions they're planning to ask, so the time to provide input on those questions is today. So if you would, please just take a half hour sometime today and look through this document, see if it makes sense, see if anything is worded strangely, or if you think something important is being left out. Are there any questions about this document? Okay, so I'm taking from that silence that everyone agrees that they will be looking at the document today and providing feedback, even if it's just to tell Alice that you like the document as it is and you don't need to see any changes. So hopefully you'll get back even with neutral comments so that we know that everyone's had a look at the document. All right, that's your assignment for today. The other aspect of the competition and choice subteam is actually the definition of markets to explore. One of the things that has come out of discussions by the subteam is the notion that we won't come up with just one definition of the relevant market for competition, but instead look at a number of different types of market definitions so that we can provide commentary on what the competitive effects of the GTLD program were on each of those different market segments. And so there are sort of categories of markets that the team came up with on one call that include geographic and linguistic and thematic, right, like sports, music, education, et cetera, which is similar to what the analysis group did in their analysis of the of relevant markets, and they did a thematic overview. And so the subteam has begun the process of coming up with different putting the TLDs, if you will, into those markets, and then seeing which ones are missing relevant TLDs, et cetera, will be the next exercise. And so we have different team leads on the competition and choice team, different rapporteurs for these market definitions. Perhaps I'll put them on the spot as well. Wado, do you want to share a little bit about your thoughts on the geographic market segmentation?
Well, I don't have anything extra to what you have said. I think you just continue. You have the momentum.
Okay. So, I mean, have you shared the definition on a plenary call at this point, or just sub-team calls?
No, I think we have not really reached 100% agreement on the definition. So maybe I would just hold it. So when we meet in DC, we can try to discuss that with the plenary.
Okay, Wado. I think we're trying to actually have the market defined by DC if we can. I think that was the...
Yeah. There's still a little bit of ongoing work. Maybe it needs a little bit of refinement.
Okay. All right. Dehan, do you have anything that you want to share?
Hi, John. I don't think Dehan's on the call.
Okay. Dehan's not on the call. Okay, let's try to let's just set an objective to maybe circulate some market definitions by Friday if we can. Wado, you're the only rapporteur on the call, but we'll reach out via email to Dayan and Stan. Because Stan is watching his building burn down apparently. Let's set that as an objective to try and circulate some market definitions by the end of the week here. Alice, thanks for sending the email. I appreciate that. Okay, any other questions about the competition and choice team? Okay, great. Alice, can you put up the notes from Laureen on the Trust and Safeguards team? So, Laureen couldn't be on, so sent this email to sort of talk about what's going on currently in the Trust and Safeguards team. And I welcome members from that team to speak up as well. I know Drew and David are both on that team. Jamie's on that team, so I'm interested in getting feedback from anybody on what's going on that and what the needs are from the plenary. What Laureen has been doing that I think is a really good idea is having individuals report on the different reading materials, the different references that have been made available to the team, so that people are reading a particular document and then making a presentation on it for the group. And so it may be possible, putting you on the spot, but if it's possible for the folks that have participated in this thus far, Carlton, Calvin, and how to maybe give a two-line summary of the document and how it relates to some of the questions that we're addressing, that might be interesting information for the whole group. Carlton, can you give a elevator summary of your presentation from the Trust and Safeguards team?
I could. I did the consumer array. Ring?
I'm sorry? Yeah, we can't hear you now. So.
I did the consumer awareness survey, and I have the document that came out. But we did a survey of 1,000 consumers in the whole country across all regions. The survey was administered in 18 languages, and they use a subset of the metrics, recommended metrics, in the survey, ask the questions, and they executed the first one in 2015. Some basic highlights, they look at existing GTLDs, and they focus on a couple: email, photography, link, guru, reader, that club, that XYZ. They found 46% of purple people surveyed were at least aware of at least one new GTLD, and 65% of those who said they were aware actually visited one new GTLD. And it appears that the ones that they visited, they tend to be those that imply purpose and functional association. So, like, for example, that email and that link, they were the ones that people tend to visit. They compared the visitations with the new GTLDs, with the legacy GTLDs, legacy domains, .com, net, and org. They found that in comparison, 79% were aware of the legacy domains, and 71% of those who were aware actually visited. So you had a very big contrast there. 46% aware of at least one new GTLD. And of the 46% that are aware of the new GTLD, 65% of those reported visiting at least once, compared to the legacy domains, .com/.net and .org, 79% were aware, 71%. The study also picked up some information
that would be useful for us to keep in mind. 74% of the people surveyed, of the 6,000-odd persons we surveyed, say they were familiar and aware with things like malware, phishing, or stolen credentials. But only 37% were aware of cyber squatting, which, as you know, is a big issue with the new GDPR. The new survey is supposed to be happening now, the updated survey, and presumably those results will be available in September.
Okay. Great, Carlton. Thank you. Calvin, do you have an elevator pitch on the notes and takedowns study?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Yes, it was basically, let me try and give you a three-line summary. It was a very academic, 140-page Harvard Berkman examination of three other studies on the effect of the takedown notices, mainly with regards to Google search and the effects, as well as Google image search, and it made particular reference to the DMCA, the U.S. takedown law. So it was fairly U.S.-centric. And I think if I had to try and summarize it in one line, it basically warned against ordering such legislation. As to its applicability for our work, I wasn't totally convinced that there's too much of a link there with dealing mainly with content issues.
Okay, great, Calvin. It looks like we don't have Hal on the call or Lorraine, so won't do more summaries. We'll get those later. One of the things that we're going to talk about is a kind of template for reporting back on data sources that we came up with, and Lorraine circulated to her sub-team, and we want to modify some variant of this for all the work that the review team does, if possible. So we'll talk about that in a brief next. But just to finish up on Lorraine's report, there's a new data request that's about gathering the zone files for all the GTLDs, compare the levels of domain abuse and legacy GTLDs with new GTLDs. And so the sub-team has agreed to do this, and they've begun drafting a statement of work. There's a fairly large reading list for the Trust and Safeguards team. And there have been assignments made for individuals to read different things on the list and report back to them. And there's been a template, and you can see Alice has pasted into the chat the template that we came up with to, again, make the summaries very tied to the underlying questions that we're trying to ask in the review. So trying to identify the question and then the hypothesis surrounding that question that might be addressed by that research product, and try to guide the summaries, the elevator pitches around that. So the conclusion by Calvin that a particular document isn't relevant is just as valuable as one that says that it is, because we need to really focus in on the questions we're trying to ask and determine what evidence we're able to glean from these different reading assignments. So, again, just a reminder to the folks that are on the sub-team that the reading list has been published. That's that first Google Docs link, and then the template to use for sort of reporting on that when giving the verbal presentations on those is the second link that Alice circulated. So Watto asked if the five presentations are available. I think that they were verbal, Watto, and so there's not PowerPoints around them. So part of what we're going to try to do is fill out the template that's in this second Google Docs link that Alice has pasted, and then use that as a mechanism to let these presentations kind of endure beyond their verbal presentations. It sounds like Carlton did a short doc, so he can share that. He'll make it available to staff, and they'll make sure and post it on the wiki then.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Alice. Actually, they are already available on the wiki. I've just pasted the link in the chat box.
All right. Great, Alice. Thank you. Okay. So so we're going to try to make use of this template that we're talking about across the work of all the teams. I don't know if there's an easy way to bring it up, Alice, because it's pretty small. If it's possible to bring it up into Adobe, now is as good a time as any to share it across the group. Are you able to bring it up, Alice?
Sorry, Jonathan, I didn't quite catch that. Bring which page?
Oh, the template. Can you bring the template up?
Of course. Yes. One moment.
Thank you.
Jonathan, this is Stan. I'm back.
Yeah, I saw in the chat. I'm glad that you're back, Stan. We were all envisioning you standing in the front lawn watching your office burn to the ground. But
unfortunately, it was just a fire drill. Or fortunately.
So, yes, definitely fortunately, Stan. Okay, so this is the template that about which we were speaking. This may get some refinement, but this is the basic structure that we're going to try to identify for the questions that we asked, for each of the reviews. So if you remember in LA, we came up with questions that the review team were trying to ask for each of the sections, each of the three subteams. And then for each of these questions, there's a kind of an observation. And so this is a particular example, lackluster take-up of applicant support. And then there's different hypotheses that are advanced for each observation to suggest why that might have been the case. And then we're looking at the research that would be used to document that hypothesis. And then from there, we would come up with findings from that research and possible recommendations and identifying a champion then for each of those larger questions. And then the last part of the last column, if you will, is hopefully as part of our recommendations, we'll try to assess whether or not we need to resolve that particular issue prior to any subsequent procedures. I know that was just a typo on Alice's part, making a reference to a next round. Does it need to be resolved prior to any new receiving any new GTLD applications? This is the basic template. Welcome feedback on the template itself, but we're going to try to kind of organize our work around this this method and all the way through findings and recommendations. Happy to discuss this or take questions on it or just give you time to absorb it, but this is what Laureen circulated and we'll be trying to adapt for all the work of the teams. A big part of what we're going to try to do, as I mentioned, is really identify individual champions for different hypotheses so that we have individual rapporteurs associated with them. Any other questions? David Taylor.
Thanks, Jonathan. Just a question on that table. It looks good to me. I like the way this is going. And it finishes up there with the resolution required for next round. Is that resolution of the problem needs to be done before the next round, yes or no? Is that, that's what that question means. Yeah.
That's exactly right. I think there's a, one of the problems that has happened in other review teams is that there hasn't been any prioritization of of findings and recommendations. And so we're going to be treading through key waters of a lot of interest in restarting the application process, right? And so kind of identifying the areas where, well, before we do anything, we make sure that we address problems X, Y, and Z versus these are ongoing things that we should be trying to work on as we're receiving new applications, et cetera. I think that making that kind of distinction will help give guidance to the board and the staff about how to prioritize the work and what needs to be critical path for any subsequent procedures. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it does, definitely. I suppose I'm wondering now whether there's various degrees of that. You know, we've got resolution required, or should we be saying resolution recommended before next round? So we're not supposed to say rounds, are we? So I don't know who wrote it.
That's right.
Also, whether we shouldn't say something like whether we've got a highly recommended, or we have sort of a variation on it, because I think some are going to say, right, we really have to get this sorted, and others will say, well, we'd like to see this sorted, but it's less critical. So I'm just wondering, there might be some, instead of just a yes, no, we might have some sort of split along there, which we need to think about.
That makes sense. Maybe it's not a yes or no. Maybe it's a temperature scale or 1 to 10 or something like that that we should consider. So let's... We aren't close to answering that question yet. We just wanted to make sure that we were posing it as one of the things that we'll be supplying as a part of a report. So let's put it on our list to talk about that further in D.C. to finalize what this document, what this template looks like, which will include how we might go about making those recommendations and what kind of gradations that we might have. Any other questions? Marty. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. It was my suggestion to put in that last column, and the reason why I made that suggestion was that I believe in the Amsterdam meeting there was a lot of discussion about, at least from the contracted parties, about, you know, whether we can get more definition on what's going to trigger the next series of applications. I don't know, if you guys are thinking about this, but it is possible to perhaps do interim recommendations on some of those things that are, say, high priority, absolutely need to get done by the next round. I said the word round. In any event, that's what this is kind of meant to tease out, and obviously it's up to you guys whether you feel that you want to do something like that, but I thought it at least would be a useful tool for prioritizing and getting the temperature of the group on those particular issues.
Thanks, Margie. I think it's a perfectly reasonable category of recommendation, and Watto has said in the chat that he prefers a more binary. So we'll have that. Let's make sure that we've got that on the agenda to discuss in D.C., sort of fleshing out this template. But obviously that question won't be answered until we get to the findings and get a sense of the severity of those findings for the objective that we've set out in the larger question. So just hypothetically, if one of the questions is about better serving a GTLD program that is more encouraging to the developing world, it could be that awareness was a problem, but not the biggest problem, but that insufficient funds to operate a registry downstream, so beyond application support, but just the cost of managing a registry and providing sufficient guarantees about financial stability was too large a barrier. It could very well be that that question will be above the bar that says we need to address this before there's any new applications, whereas awareness is something that we just need to gradually increase over time, for example, right? So within that question, we're going to find areas of prioritization based on our findings, and we just want to reflect that prioritization in that last column. All right? Lorene has already circulated this template, but we'll be trying to use it across all the teams to the extent possible. Karen, you have your hand up.
Thanks, Jonathan. I was just going to note in relation to the template and the column about the next round, there's also a clause like this in the new bylaws. It says, I'll put this in the chat, but it says, for each of its recommendations, the CCT review team should indicate whether the recommendation, if accepted by the board, must be implemented before opening subsequent rounds of new GTLD. So I'll add that in the record. Thanks.
Perfect, Karen. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay. So let's jump in a little bit into the application and evaluation process. Got some slides there. So if you go down to the first slide, you can see the questions, the large questions that we were asking for this. When we prioritize the questions, the one in the lower right-hand corner about specific communities got the least amount of support. So that's a little bit of the red-headed stepchild of the of this particular part of the review. So we'll see where we get with that, but these other areas all had fairly strong support. And you can see that there started these larger questions. Did we address the needs of underserved areas and markets? There's a kind of related but different question that was about equal opportunity of participation in the program. So this has to do with across markets. Was there some kind of equality of opportunity for potential applicants? Did the program favor the wealthy and insider, you know, ICANN insiders, for example? Collecting and implementing GAC public policy advice and preventing the delegation of confusing or harmful TLDs is another area. So those are the big four, if you will. And then there was, if you scroll down further, I'm assuming everybody has scroll support, is that right? Or am I scrolling for everyone?
Everyone has scroll control, yes.
Okay, great. So, and then there's been this question about whether we can simplify the process by eliminating rounds. So this is an ongoing question that's almost become an assumption by virtue of the fact that we're trying really hard not to talk about rounds. But we are going to have to address this head on and try to document what the deficiencies of a round may have been, because right now we're sort of operating on that assumption. But there does seem to be a lot of feeling that the implementation of the application process as a round led to many of the challenges that that have come up. And so we're going to want to try and address that directly. So if you scroll down to slide number 4, since everybody has their own scroll control, I had some questions that I wanted to kind of put out for discussion, and we probably won't get through all of this today, but just trying to start to flesh out some of the questions that we need to try and answer to get to reviewing these larger questions that we've raised. One is the notion of equality versus the developing world. So one of the things we need to kind of outline is what we think are the distinctions between these two, because there's obviously large sort of economic implications to a discussion about the availability of the program to the developing world, but I think that there are still those on the review team that are interested in trying to figure out whether or not even in the developed, quote-unquote, developed world, there was a kind of inequality in the accessibility of the program. That if you had less money, you had more difficulty getting in, or if you weren't an ICANN insider to begin with, it was difficult to get into the program. So I think those are the distinctions people were trying to draw, but what I want to do is raise this for discussion on the group to kind of put meat on the bones about this distinction that got drawn during the brainstorming discussion so that we have a better understanding of it so we can figure out what, if any, research we want to do that's separate from the research we're proposing about the developing world. I hope that makes sense, and I invite some comments and discussion about what people believe to be the distinction in the questions and what they think appropriate research might be to address the question of equality. And don't everybody raise your hand at once, because it can really overwhelm Adobe Connect. So I appreciate everybody, you know, taking it slow. Calvin, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to find out if we're going to go further than the application process. To give you an example where I'm going with this, a whole bunch of African TLDs were not renewed come the first anniversary. And I'm wondering if that's a concern and if that's somewhere where we need to go to or not.
So Calvin, you're talking about successful applications for new TTLDs that now a year later are being dropped?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, yes. Do we want to go that far or not?
That's very interesting. I feel like it's a little bit outside our remit, but I don't want to be dogmatic about that. We were asked to kind of evaluate the application and evaluation process for its quote-unquote effectiveness. I guess the degree, my personal response, and I'm interested in everyone else's, is the degree to which those dropouts speak to the effectiveness of the application evaluation process, we should look at them. In other words, did we let things through that shouldn't have made it through because there wasn't sufficient economic stability or something like that? I feel like that's the context in which we might want to look at those at those dropouts, but I welcome hearing from other folks as well. Carlos, go ahead. Or Calvin, if you've got more, go ahead.
I just wanted to, a couple of brand TLDs from .Africa dropped out, so it almost halves the number of successful applicants in Africa, to give you an idea.
Almost half of them is what you're saying are dropping out.
Well, maybe it's a third of them or something like that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I certainly think it's interesting. I certainly think it's interesting. So let's figure out how to reach out to the these are at least people we know who they are and who the right contact is, probably, to ask them directly what's going on and see how it informs our findings and recommendations. David, you seem to be, I'm going to skip you, Carlos, because you might be talking about something new, but David, did you want to speak to this particular issue?
Yes, I did. I've just put it in the chat anyway, but I agree completely. I think that, you know, the reason why these dropped out would be interesting to know, and we'll certainly have the contact details on question 18, so if it's not public, I'm sure we could ask that, and I think that also goes to the outreach issues, because this is where we've had outreach potentially, and it's interesting that they've withdrawn, having gone through the process and obviously lost some money of the applicant fee.
So these were strings that were delegated, right? That we're talking about?
Correct. They were delegated, yes.
Right. And Carlton is saying that it was ICANN is claiming there's a violation of the registry agreement. How do we imagine that this relates to outreach on the application process. I guess I'm confused about the connection to outreach. David, do you have a sense of where you're coming from on that?
Yeah, I was just thinking, obviously we're saying that the outreach didn't work, or we're considering whether or not it didn't work as well as it could. And here we've got people who have taken the time and the expense to apply. And so just the reason why they've then dropped out, I think, is valid data for us to have to understand whether, the same thing would happen. Because, again, what we don't want to do is have 50 applicants apply because we've done wonderful outreach, and then they find for some reason they fail for the same reasons that we've seen here, that there wasn't enough ongoing support or there wasn't enough financial support or whatever. But if it's a breach of the RAA or the RA, then that might be another thing, but it's still, I think we need to find out why, if we can, and then make use of that if we can for the future.
Okay, so if there's general agreement on this, let's make it a research effort to reach out to the applicants that have dropped at the one-year mark to try and gain an understanding of why that is, and draw a connection back to some of the underlying problems associated with outreach and the application process. But I mean, let's just find a way to make sure that we keep it within our remit to the extent possible. So let's I guess Calvin, are you in a position to maybe write this up as a little bit of a research proposal, like how we might go about what questions we might be trying to ask and how we might go about getting the answers, just a paragraph on this so that we have a straw man to work from?
I guess I can, yes.
All right. Thanks, Calvin. I appreciate it. Carlos, you've had your hand up a long time. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's related to this or just the person generally. Carlos, go ahead.
Yes, no problem. This is Carlos for the record. Thank you very much, Jonathan. No problem that I have to wait. I'm trying to draft a question around this, and I just wrote a draft and shared with some people in the list that have been discussing it. I hope to have a clearer position by the time we meet next week. But I have to agree with you that we have to remain on our remit. I mean, this is really the application process. We have to think a little bit more about what we mean under underserved areas. And for me, I'm walking around an elephant in the room, And the elephant for me, or for the Latin American region, I don't know about the Caribbean, but for me, is the CCTLDs. I mean, I know this is outside of our remit and so on, but we have to ask ourselves, is a country or a community underserved by its original CCTLD? Is the CCTLD cheap enough? Is the CCTLD flexible enough? We have to tackle this somehow. I mean, because, I see that ICANN's outreach in Latin America, and please don't quote me, I hope it doesn't remain in the record, has a very cozy relationship with the regional CCTLDs. And you want to be friends with them, and you don't want to threaten them, and they have been very weak compared with other areas of the world in terms of pursuing new GTLDs. So that's why, that's my explanation, that's my personal opinion, I don't have the numbers. This is my personal opinion why outreach or the application process in Latin America was basically ineffective outside of Brazil. There is a cozy relationship between ICANN and the CCTLDs, and there is not enough drive in most smaller Latin American economies to pay $185,000. And I think we can tackle that. I mean, we should ask ourselves if the CCTLD is proactive and came with new ideas, or if the CCTLD was just protecting their home turf and they were not interested in having a lot of activity there. But I'm thinking how to try to get some numbers on that. Thank you.
Okay, Carlos, thank you. I mean, that's interesting, and I think that we aren't trying to avoid the issue of CCTLDs altogether, in that, as Stan may be about to raise here, we are looking at them as part of the market in many instances for competition, and so they play a role in the competitive landscapes, you know, for TLDs and GTLDs, because they are a kind of GTLD in many ways, even the ones that aren't marketed as straight GTLDs. Like, I'm sorry, go ahead, Carlos.
No. They're really a substitute.
Right. Okay. That's right. So there is a substitute, and then the question you ask about a role that they played in the outreach and the interest level in the developing world around, you know, interest in new GTLDs, I think, again, is valid. What we can't do is make recommendations for CCTLDs. I understand. Hang on. We just have to make sure we stay within our remit, that what we come out with are recommendations for subsequent procedures for new GTLDs. And they can take into consideration the dynamics created by CCTLDs. That's the only thing I'm saying. We don't need to avoid them altogether. We can have them as context, but our recommendations just have to be specific to any further new GTLD program. That's all.
Sure. No, I fully agree, and thank you. And I'm trying to concentrate and trying to get some numbers on the dynamics, as you just said. So I hope to get some reaction from Carlton and Stan and Waldo, who I wrote a note on that for next week. Thank you very much.
Right. So again, try to form it as a hypothesis, and then we'll look at what kind of resources we might bring to bear that are either existing or that we need to get to try and document that hypothesis. Because obviously we're going to avoid just putting people's feelings and opinions into our findings. Stan, go ahead.
Thank you very much.
I actually feel uncomfortable seconding the chairman's suggestion, but that's what I'm going to do here. These are all very interesting questions. I think we have to drill down at least one level down below them to make any progress. And I think this basically, the same thing is true on the competition side. We need to identify projects with great specificity. And that's going to require us to identify the data we need to test those hypotheses. And then we have to figure out who's going to actually do the calculations. At this point, it seems to me these are at a level of, for the most part, are a level of generality that don't meet those requirements. And if this is going to be a report to be based on data, we have to drill down at least to the next level below these.
I certainly agree with you, Stan. So I mean that's why I welcome people throwing these things out, and I know Jamie's another vanguard of undocumented aspersions being cast. But we're going to I think for any of these things to make it into the report, they need to be turned into very specific research questions. You know, based on hypotheses, and then documented for us to include them. So I think Carlton and Carlos, you get this. Carlos, I'm gonna task you with trying to come up with a set of hypotheses, you know, based on your thoughts, and then let's work together to boil them down to very specific research questions. All right. So that was all great. What I was trying to get at for this question, though, is that we ended up having a separate set of questions related to equal accessibility of the program. And so if you go back up to slide number 2, if everyone would do that for a second, you can see that the orange box here was this other set of questions, providing equal opportunity for participation in the program. So one of the things that came up in the brainstorming process in Los Angeles was a kind of generic economic and status-based bias about which people had some concerns. Risk of unfair advantage to those with more money, and insider knowledge, linguistic barriers, etc. So there's a lot of relationship between this and the first one about the developing world and developing emerging economies. The question is there still a feeling within the review team about asking a separate question about an economic or insider bias associated with the program, so that even in the global north, there were issues of concern with respect to the accessibility of the new GTLD program. So this feeling did come out of the brainstorming session, but I want to make sure that there's still sufficient feelings about this distinction that we should pursue it separately. I don't know if anybody remembers if they were the one to pose these questions, or if they really meant for them to be part of the underserved markets question, or if it was meant to be something separate. So that's what I was trying to get a discussion about, because I want to really boil this down to a set of questions we're trying to answer. Does that make sense? Does anybody have questions about the question? David, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I can't remember now exactly the brainstorming in LA and where we got to that. I do remember, I think it was on the last call or the call before when we looked at this, I think it was me who suggested we put in the insider knowledge addition into the orange bit. So that was at that point when I put it in. I don't think it was something we had on the brainstorming back in LA, but I may well stand corrected because it's such a long time ago, I can't remember what we were storming in our brains back then. But that the point I think I was after there was the insider knowledge was just really, which again ties into the outreach in many ways, because the only people who really, really know about it, and I would say who in many ways care, are the insiders who are looking to make considerable money from the process. And it's as the news spreads, other people realize there's an opportunity, and that's where you then get onto outreach that you want people to know. But, you know, you look at the attendees at an ICANN meeting today compared to 2 years, 4 years, and 6 years ago, and it's completely changed. And I think there is an inside advantage, as there is in anything. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I just think it's something which we have to accept, and it is there. And I'm just trying to think there. I wanted to put it in so we can figure out how we, or if we can, capture it and consider it, and in the best way. That's it, really.
Jonathan, you may be on mute.
I just figured my voice was loud enough you could hear me even if I had my microphone muted. But since Watto appreciates my microphone, David, do you have a sense of how to boil this down to a hypothesis that could be turned into a research question? You know, it's about outreach, but in this case, it's not necessarily emerging markets outreach. It's about general outreach about the program. Do you want to, can I task you with coming up with a couple of hypotheses associated with this question of equal access to the program, and then we can kind of brainstorm about how we might find the answers to the how we might document those hypotheses?
Yeah, I could try. I think it's something to discuss when we're together face-to-face. I think it's a difficult one, and I'm trying to figure out how we do get data points out of that. You know, you can't go and ask every insider.
Let's discuss that face-to-face. But if you could boil this down to a couple of hypotheses in the structure that we're talking about in the template, then that can be the basis of the discussion face-to-face. So I'm not asking you to go research it, just to think about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Stan, is that an old hand or new hand?
It's a new one.
Okay.
This gets back to another version of the point I made earlier. We have a very practical question. Who is going to, in fact, do these calculations? I assume it's not the committee. I mean, presumably it's going to be either the staff or outside consultant, which and that means that we have to define these projects, I call them projects, with sufficient specificity so that if we ask somebody to do it, they know what we're asking them to do. And I think, although here in this conversation, some specific things have come up, I think there's a lot of work to be done to identify these projects with sufficient specificity so that we can hand them off to somebody else who's going to do our calculations. And I just think we're a long way from being able to do that.
So, Stan, that is similar to your previous remark. What is it you think we should be doing differently than we're doing to get to that point?
Well, I'm not putting my list of projects as a model, but what I tried to do when we had exactly the same, a similar issue arose in connection with the competition discussion. I looked at the questions and I said, gee, those are not research projects. And Jordan volunteered me to come up with some projects, which is why I came up with the list. And I tried in doing so to be as specific as I could about the question we were asking, and as specific as I could be about the data we were going to be using. And it seems to me that we have to do exactly the same thing here, because we can't just hand these off to somebody and say, you figure out what we have in mind. I hate to sound so harsh about this, but I just think we're just not very close to being able to do that. And I would be disappointed if we left Washington next week without, in fact, being at the stage where we could hand these projects off to someone else to do the work.
Thanks, Dan. So, I mean, I'm certainly inclined to agree with you, and that's why I'm sort of trying to push people to get things to begin to get to at least the hypothesis stage, and then maybe what we can do in D.C. is get them the one level below that turn them into specific research projects, either for the group or for staff or for an outside consultant. So it's identifying data sources, as you say, and also identifying what questions we want to ask of that data. So
by the way,
I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, and we have the same issue. The competition group has the same problem. I think we're closer to that stage, but we're certainly not at that stage either.
Right. No, I mean, I think that's got to be the objective of all the groups, is to get to that. Whatever degree possible, I mean, there might be some areas where we're going to be doing narrative, but wherever we can do any kind of quantitative documentation, we need to boil it down to what resources we're going to look at and what we're going to employ to get those questions answered. So I appreciate your comments on that, Stan. So, David, again, to that line, I'm hoping that you get to the first stage of that, which is getting down to some more specific types of questions that we're going to try to ask about the quality of the application process and some hypotheses that you have, for example, less availability for outsiders, and then we'll try to boil down from there when we're in D.C. to turn this into specific research questions.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, David. I appreciate it. I know that we're coming up on the end of the call, I think. Is that right? Alice?
Yes, 2 minutes. Yeah.
So is there anything else that we need to do? Do we need to talk about with respect? I guess we'll stop here. I'll pick up on the next. I'll talk a little bit about these surveys that we are working on to get at some of these questions related to the developing world. So I guess Alice circulated the slides. So you can see here on this other slide, the applicant surveys are both looking at people that either withdrew their applications or potential applicants who never applied, right, which is a trickier question. And so we have the beginning of some methodology associated with both of those to conduct some surveys to gain an understanding about why people withdrew or why they didn't apply in the first place. I will circulate to the whole group the research proposal on number 2, and you can see sort of the phase 1 and phase 2 of that, we can get some feedback there. So there's more detail in that proposal than there is in this slide, but that's what we're doing there. But if you look at the slides here, you can see some of the existing questions, again, that we have about some of the areas of work. So please look at these slides. And again, Alice has uploaded the link to them, and look at these questions, and then we'll be diving into them into some detail and trying to boil them down to hypotheses and research questions when we are when we're together next week. Alice, do you want to go ahead and talk briefly about September?
Yes, sure. Very briefly. So if you may have noticed, there's no clear window for the September meeting dates. So what we'll be doing is that we'll be issuing a new doodlepaw with some new dates, and we'll be looking into early October. So please keep an eye open for this new doodlepaw that will be circulated to the list. And thank you in advance for your input.
And Alice, I guess separately, are we planning to do a face-to-face surrounding the meeting in Hyderabad?
Hi, Jonathan. I think that's the plan, yes.
This is Marjorie. I think one of the things we were talking about in the past was trying to get closer to where Robbie might be able to join us. And so strikes me that that's a great place to do that. The question for you all is, we had this question in Marrakesh, is when would be the appropriate timing for it? During the week, before the week, after the week, if we were to go down that path, we'll need to explore it with our meetings team.
That's exactly right. There seemed to be consensus in Marrakesh that during the meeting was very difficult for people because they all wanted to actively participate in the meeting. So I think there's a preference for before or after the meeting for our face-to-face. I guess we can try to do a little quick poll here if people are up for it. I know that GNSO Council has its meetings on the weekend before the ICANN meeting. To what extent is that something that's a significant draw to people on this team? I know that I usually go and make a presentation and people go and make presentations, but can we maybe see a show of green ticks versus red X's if you would be okay with us scheduling our face-to-face the Saturday and Sunday prior to the ICANN meeting?
Jonathan, this meeting in India is very strange. It goes from Wednesday to Wednesday.
Oh, right. Sorry. So not Saturday and Sunday. I just mean the two days prior to the meeting. The same time as the GNSO Council meeting, I guess, is what I'm really suggesting. Or do people feel like that's too much of a conflict? Exact dates. I don't remember them. Does somebody on staff remember what the dates of the GNSO Council meeting will be in Hyderabad, the 2 days prior to the ICANN meeting? I've forgotten what the new dates are. the 3rd through the 9th of November is the new dates for the ICANN 57. So this would be the 1st and 2nd of November, I think. So my question to you, and maybe this is too quick for people, but consider the possibility of us having our face-to-face in Hyderabad on the 1st and 2nd of November. Or the 10th and 11th.
I would prefer before. Oh. Sorry, I'm in my car, so I can't do a check.
Okay. So 1st and 2nd works for Calvin. Is anybody else okay with the 1st and 2nd? I mean, we can do a doodle poll as well, but I just wanted to get a sense.
Yeah, John, I mean, just one thing on that. The 1st is a public holiday for me, but I can get around that if need be. But I was just going to say, maybe for other people as well, I don't know, on the 1st of November. But I was going to say we could also switch over instead of actually matching whatever the council's doing. We could do the 2nd and the 3rd. So we use the first day of the ICANN meeting and the first day beforehand. Because I don't know about you, that first day generally is the easier day. You don't have any constituencies. You don't have other things like that. But obviously other people may be affected. But for me, I could certainly drop out of the first day of the ICANN meeting to spend the day with the CCT review team.
Okay, so this is a lot of variations. So thanks, David. Thanks for the input. I guess we're going to need to do a doodle on it to try and figure out Hyderabad. And I didn't mean to derail the conversation about a prior meeting. It's just when Alice mentioned October, we may end up having two meetings in a row. That's all. So I guess the other question is whether we should try to slip into late August for a face-to-face. Because I'd rather sooner rather than later myself, but I don't know if that works for other people as well. Alice, is there a reason we're not considering going earlier than September rather than pushing it later?
Hi, Jonathan. I think, well, August is usually a vacation time for a lot of people, so we could potentially look into late August if that works.
Yeah, I mean, that's... It might end up over my birthday, but I'll happily give up my birthday for the CCT as long as somebody bakes me a cake.
On the doodle,
it will hurt you if we sing.
Sorry, on the doodle poll, there wasn't early September. Was the reason for it not being in early September? Because then obviously then we're out of holidays. That seemed to potentially be a good time, no?
Speak for yourself, Euro. It's Labor Day in the United States.
So Alice, I guess in addition to adding some, dates in early October, maybe add some in very late August as a possibility. We'll circulate a new doodle poll, folks, and just do your best. So be as aggressive as you can about dates that you can make, because the reason we're having this conversation is that we. In the doodle poll we circulated, we didn't get a very large number for any particular date. Everybody was all over the map. So think harder, if you would, about your availability for the dates on the doodle poll, but we'll also add some dates in late August and early October. Okay?
Can I just advise that any choices?
Carlton, you got to speak up.
I was trying to say to Jonathan that too many choices is just not good. No more than two choices, three choices. It is easier to get people to focus that way.
Okay. So, Alice, I guess the best way to execute on that is to maybe look where there was the most support from the old doodle poll and include those, and where there was the least support, we'll just drop them out of the doodle poll and we'll add it, and then we'll add a couple of choices. We'll add a choice in late August and one in early October. Does that make sense to everyone?
Okay.
Yes.
And maybe okay. September, as you can see on the chat there, Jonathan. I don't know if that works for others.
Oh, I thought there were dates in September already in the doodle poll, but I don't even remember it now, so.
I might be wrong, I'd have to go to it, but I thought they were starting sort of mid-September or something, so I assumed there was something on in the first 2 weeks of September. but I might just be muddling my doodles.
Yeah, early September would be fine with me as well. So, Alice, if you want to, we can do a separate conversation to try and go through the results we got
and
come up with another doodle poll, if that's helpful.
Okay,
John, folks.
Wait, one more thing before you jump
off.
The poll was designed not to include weekends, the one in September that you all looked at. Would you like to consider some weekend dates in September? Because that's the other thing we could expand the poll to cover.
Yes, why not?
How do folks feel about weekends? It's difficult to just have everybody talk. Can you just use the ticks quickly and put a green tick if you're willing to have our face-to-face happen over a weekend?
I'm okay with weekends. Can't do ticks, sorry.
Okay, thanks, Calvin. Okay, it looks like about half the folks seem to be okay with the weekend. So maybe we'll throw a couple in.
Great, thank you.
All right. All right, folks, thank you. We'll see you all in D.C., and I'll figure out something for Sunday evening and send out some kind of an invite. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Bye.
Bye.